This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour already of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Time flies when you're having fun like we are. And I'm going to continue to explain what's happening in corporate America here in a minute. We'll get to some emails. Are we cultural leaders out there in Saddam Hussein's mega yacht, which we should have bought? All that is still to come on the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Back to what I was talking about. In case you're just joining us, M&M's, they just announced they're no longer doing the spokes candies. You know, the candies and the stupid commercials with they talk and they have the eyes. And of course, they decided to go all women. And then they had to throw some lesbians in there. And then now they just announced, hey, we didn't want to be political. We're getting out of all this. And there are two major problems corporate America really faces right now. One, we're still on the first one. So there, you're all caught up. The first one is this. They're always looking for elite talent. And so they're always competing with each other for what they consider to be the source of elite talent. America's elite universities, the Harvards, the Stanfords, the Wharton Schools of Business, all the Brown University, all those universities. That's where corporate America goes to find elite talent. The problem is they haven't advanced with the times. And the history of the world is full of examples of everyone from companies to armies failing horrifically because they did not realize time had changed. Back to World War One. We talk about World War One all the time on the show because I love it. I'm obsessed with it. Think how crazy it was that there was ever a second charge after the first charge. The first group of men were all mowed down by a machine gun nest. Okay, so there were never machine guns before World War One. I understand that there were a couple before. You know what I mean? There no mass industrial machine guns. So maybe you give the general, the commander, the captain, the major, maybe you give them some grace the first time where it's okay, everybody out of the trench. Beep. That's what they did. They blew a whistle. Beep. Charge. And all 50 guys go running out of the trench and beep, 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 beep. All 50 of them dead pretty much right away. Maybe you give them some grace for number one, right? They never, but what? I didn't know this was a thing. But a couple years into the war, 2-3 years into the war, and they're still sending masses of men charging at an entrenched machine gun for all of them to get gunned down. Why? Because they didn't realize times had changed. They didn't catch up in time. Corporate America, they're currently going down this road. And very few, if any of them, actually realize what's going on. You keep going into Harvard and Stanford and Princeton to find the next, quote, elite talent to bring into your organization. And you snatch up these people and you immediately bring them in. This guy's going into HR and this guy's going into sales and this guy's going into this. And what you don't realize is you didn't bring in elite talent. You just brought in a termite who the second this vile little communist gets into your company, they will get there and continue their religious purpose, their religious activism. And that activism will be turning your company, the one you're trying to turn a profit with, they're trying to turn it into a force for communist activism. And so these companies keep getting themselves in hot water because they allow these fools they bring in from elite colleges, and all of a sudden you're coming up with it. Remember these commercial ad campaigns. We talked about this before. There's always a campaign, and they don't just come up with it in one day. There's a lot of thought and a ton of money put into these new, what's our new ad campaign going to be? You know, Energizer Bunny, it's still going. They were running those ads when I was a kid. Someone put a lot of time and thought into that ad campaign. So they didn't realize the people who were creating this new ad campaign. And we got to get some lesbos in here and let's make sure it's all women. And M&M's didn't realize they'd brought a poison pill into the company. And soon you find yourself very much taking sides in the culture war. And then you're scared. You don't know what's going on. So you're trying to back off, but you can't even back off the right way. They went and hired some Maya Rudolph chick who's a hardcore communist. And they're like, hey, at least Maya makes everyone happy. And now they're catching all kinds of heat for that, too. Everyone's all, Maya Rudolph. Well, the problem is, again, there are two things that companies get wrong now. That was the first one. You're bringing in these poison pills. If you're a company, the second you see an elite university on their resume, that should be treated as a red flag. Not a bonus, a red flag. Oh, hold on. Bob here went to Harvard. Man alive, he finished almost the top of his class. We better do some follow-up interviews before we hire Bob. Hey, did you check out his social media? Do we know anything about Bob's online presence? Do we have a hardcore communist activist coming into our company? Because Bob's going to be in charge of HR here in a couple years. Probably for the best if we don't bring him in. So that's one mistake. And here's the second mistake. And this is one we've talked about on this show before. And actually, this applies directly to you. This isn't just companies. It very much applies to them, but it applies to you too. Right now, we are living in an age, the information age, they call it. And I want you to think about this. Think about how insane this is. Think about how many people throughout history didn't know how to read and write. It's been the majority of people in history, really. Well, the majority of time periods. The majority of people in history could not read or write. And have you ever, medieval times, you know anything about medieval times? It doesn't matter. You don't have to be an expert. But one thing you may find interesting about medieval times was this. We think about monks, and already you can picture the medieval monk, right, in the brown robes and things like that. One of the reasons the monks were thought so highly of back then wasn't just because of their religious leadership. It was because monks worked in a monastery, and a monastery had books, tons of them, huge libraries. Now, you don't think that's any kind of a deal until you figure this out. Most people couldn't read or write, and most people didn't own a book, not one. So when you think about it in that way, the monk is this wealth of information. He's surrounded by all this knowledge about life in the world that you had no idea about because you can't even read or write. And even if you could, you didn't have a book. That's how much of human history operated. Now, that's how the men, flesh and blood, people just like you, people just like me, that's how they've lived throughout time. Now think about where we are now in the information age. There is so much information, it's too much. I've brought it up before. You can pick up your smartphone and gain access to endless amounts of knowledge. A world of far beyond what that monk ever kept in his library. You have 10 million times that knowledge simply by holding that phone in your hand with an internet connection. You have endless amounts of knowledge. And what's happened is, speaking of failing to adjust with the times, human beings, not just corporations, maybe you too, maybe you've struggled with this. Human beings have not adjusted to drinking from the fire hydrant of information out there. Oh, there's water coming from the hydrant. Oh, you're thirsty? You want some of it? Good, you should go get some of it. Ah, you better be careful how you try to get some water out of that fire hydrant, though. Because I promise, I know all the other people in human history could just stick their head right in front of the water. If you do that, you're going to blast your face off. You have to be much more strategic and smart about your consumption of information. And part of that information, and this applies to companies, and again, this probably applies to you too, part of that is how you respond to feedback, positive and negative. How do you respond to feedback? We're going to have a little talk about this in just a moment. We're going to talk about the nuclear news cycle. We're going to talk about our pathetic cultural leaders, Saddam Hussein's yacht, and more emails. All that's still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to any of that, though, we are going to pause real briefly and do something good tonight. One good thing. I was talking with the boys yesterday and took them out to a nice meal at Red Lobster, and we were talking about, hey, what's what's one good thing you've done so far this year? What's one good thing you've done so far this week? And I was just telling them, hey, I want to be better about trying to do one good thing a day. And at the end of the day, let's report with each other. What's one thing? You hold the door open for somebody? You smile at someone? Ask how their day was? Maybe the one good thing today for you is saving a baby's life. And no, I don't expect you to run out in the road and throw yourself in front of a newborn. I expect you to just give $28 to preborn so they can provide that woman, that scared young woman, that can provide her with a free ultrasound. You see, she's out there looking for an abortion. Preborn's trying to stop it. Their goal is to rescue 150 babies' lives a day. It's sad they have to even try for something like that, but that's their goal. They do that with your help. Your $28 doesn't line some CEO's pocket. It goes to that woman's baby for a chance at life. Dial #250-SAY-BABY. That's how you donate securely. Or you can go online and go to preborn.com/Jesse. $28 saves a life. Preborn.com/Jesse, sponsored by Preborn. Now, that was the first adjustment businesses need to make. They keep taking in these poison pills from Harvard. But the second one is about all that information and the abundance of information and feedback. And I think this might actually help you and definitely will help your child in this day and age. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. We are fixing corporate America tonight and then dealing with this M&M stuff. We'll get back to cultural leaders and our media is disgusting and emails and all this other stuff. But okay, so we live in a day and age now where there's, I don't know that I should say too much information. That's not fair. We as human beings, you, me, companies for sure, have not properly adjusted yet to an era where information is simply always in the palm of your hands, whatever you want. Companies are way behind on this one. They're slowly starting to wake up, but the truth is companies are living in the Neanderthal era in when it comes to businesses and complaining. That whole, the customer is always right thing, and this is why. Let's go back to 1990. We don't even have to go back to 1890, right? 1590. 1990. It's not that long ago. 30 years ago. 1990. Let's say, you know, I told you I went to Red Lobster yesterday, of course. Wanted something high-end. Went to Red Lobster. But let's say I went to Red Lobster yesterday, and yesterday was 1990. Let's say, and this would never happen, but let's say it sucked. Let's say I got the Cheddar Bay biscuits, and they were stale. My shrimp scampi was kind of mushy. The service was bad. The server was rude. There was a hair in my son's food. It was a disaster. Now, let me ask you. It's 1990. I'm walking out of Red Lobster. What are my options now that I've left Red Lobster? What are my options to badmouth Red Lobster? The year is 1990. What are they? I can call someone. I certainly can do that. Call the wife up. Hey, I had mushy shrimp at Red Lobster. Okay, so that's a phone call. There's no texting. I'm not going to be emailing anybody. There's no online review sites at all. So, no, I won't be going on to Yelp or DoorDash or any one of these other places to let them know that I had a bad experience and mushy shrimp at Red Lobster. I guess I could... After I call the wife, I guess I could make a phone call if I wanted to corporate, maybe, if I could find the number. How exactly would I go about finding the corporate number for Red Lobster? Not now. I know you could look that up on your phone, but it's 1990. Let's say I can even find the phone number. I can maybe make a phone call to corporate. If I'm lucky, I could get a P.O. box and send them a letter. I'm not going to get any of my friends to send a letter, but that's really it. One bad meal. At best, Red Lobster hears about it with a voicemail left on their voice messaging machine and maybe a handwritten letter. And other than that, they don't know. Today, businesses, because of the abundance of information and the abundance of people being able to leave feedback, positive and negative, businesses now live in the nuclear news cycle. That's what I call it. They just don't realize it. Remember, a nuclear blast burns way hotter than you can imagine. Surface temperature of the sun. But just for a second, just for a brief moment, and then it's gone. Well, today, if you're M&Ms and you start getting political and you got to have the Lesbo stuff and everything else, what you're going to experience is about 24 to 48 hours of every Tom, Dick, and Harry on your Facebook page, Twitter page. They're sending emails in. Friends are getting other friends revved up. Hey, did you see what M&Ms did? Hey, send them something on Twitter. I'm gonna send something too. Let's do a mass email chain. If I'm mad at Red Lobster in 1990, I can maybe contact them twice if I'm lucky. If I'm mad at Red Lobster today, I have 1,000 different ways without a radio show. I have 1,000 different ways where not only I can contact them, I can have friends contact them on my behalf with virtually no effort whatsoever. The nuclear news cycle. When you get, quote, in trouble, you're going to feel heat like no one in history has ever felt it, because there are so many ways for people to chirp at you now. They'll be emailing, they'll be calling, they'll be texting. And it's not just, here's what gets you. As someone who's been in the middle of a bunch of these, because you know I enjoy them, but as someone who's in the middle of a bunch of these, here's what really gets you, what you find out. It's not even your enemies that make it bad. It's actually your friends. It's not the communists across the street trying to get you fired. It's your mom. Because you're busy fighting off the communists all day long. Instead, you get a text from your mom. Hey, I saw this on Facebook. You're not going to get fired, are you? I'm worried. I don't like it that I saw. Now you're getting it. The wife calls. Your kids will come home from school. Hey, Billy at school said that you said it's the people close to you. They're part of the nuclear news cycle, too. So for about 24, 48 hours, it feels like it's raining lava. But then, because there's so much information, everyone will move on. Companies haven't learned that you don't need to ever actually do anything. The customer isn't always right. In fact, you should act like the customer doesn't exist. You know what you should do? Oh, you got in some trouble. You know what you should do? Shut up. Stop talking. 24, 48 hours. And you know how this applies to you directly? You ever start catching heat on social media? Maybe you said something political. You're an anti-communist like me, so I know you have. And all of a sudden, your cousins are mad at you. Your crazy aunt got a couple friends. Maybe you're getting yelled at. And maybe you've stressed about it. Maybe you freaked out. I know it's radio, but I'm going to describe for you how to deal with this. You ready for this? You ready for this? You ready? Here's what you do. You take that phone in your hand. You hear this? You hear that? That make a noise? Did that come through on the microphone, Chris? You take the phone in your hand, and you just set it down. And look at that. Look at that. All my problems are gone now. In fact, I think I'll just close it in a drawer over here. Look at that. My problems just disappeared overnight. Companies, go and do likewise. All right? All right. Now, we're going to go on vacation together, you and me. And I've had a lot of requests on this show to reveal what my midlife crisis car is. Remember, I went out, I bought a midlife crisis car when I signed with Premier a year and a half ago. I'm not proud of it. I've never done anything like that before, but I did it then. All right. For security purposes, I cannot reveal my midlife crisis car to every Tom, Dick, and Harry who listens to the show, because a bunch of communists want to kill me. But I have promised you, if you join us, and there's no pressure, if you don't want to go, that's fine. But if you join us on our 10-day tour of the Holy Land, I will tell you what the midlife crisis car is. In fact, I'll even show you a picture of it. I better not get made fun of for that either. Anyway, if you want to go with me and the wife and the kids and Chris and Michael and the boys, we're going in July. Go to ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. Remember, you're in a hurry now. ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris actually brought up a good point. I was talking about the car and how I can't tell you what it is. Maybe I should Tell me a cooler way than going out with a car bomb. Seriously, if some communist nutball put a bunch of C4 in my car and blew me up, Chris, instant legendary status. They'd make a statue of me. What, Chris? They would, wouldn't they? I won't park next to you anymore, but there's a real opportunity here to go out in the blaze of glory, baby. After all, it's Medal of Honor Monday. Why are our cultural leaders such a bunch of wussies? This is my problem. Tony Dungy is an NFL coach, was for a long time. Now he works for NBC. To his credit, he's very, very pro-life. And he spoke at the March of Life recently, and I love that. And I'm glad he's speaking. That's good. I applaud him for that. But he put something out online complaining because the schools were talking about putting feminine products in boys' bathrooms because not all who menstruate are female. That's what they said on my life. That's what they said. Bunch of weirdos in this country. And he said, that's nothing. Some schools are putting litter boxes in there, and they are because kids are identifying as cats. So he's making fun of the furry, weird bunch of freaks. Now, all that's fine. But then he apologized and said he was, quote, deeply sorry. And said, I posted a tweet I deleted, issued an apology. I'm sorry. As a Christian, I want to be a force for love to everyone, a force for healing and reconciliation, not for animosity. So Christians don't have standards now? Look, I don't know what your religious beliefs are, and that's fine. I'm not your pastor. I'm not telling you about that. But if you're a Christian listening to the sound of my voice, you understand that what's happened in America is our fault, right? This pathetic, Americanized version of Christianity, where you feel like you have to apologize every time you randomly, quote, offend somebody, is putrid to me. I don't recognize it. I don't have any idea what kind of Bible these people have read in their lifetimes. The Bible is full of warriors cutting people's heads off and stuff like that. And American Christians today, oh, I'm so sorry I insulted the turbo freaks who walk around barking at each other and pooping in litter boxes. I feel so bad. I should have just been busy turning my cheeks. No, actually, tolerance is extremely overrated. Tolerance is overrated. And you know what? You know what's underrated? You know what's underrated in this country? Hatred. Hatred is underrated. You have an obligation to hate what is wrong, to hate what is evil. You have an obligation to call it out, to fight against it, and to speak hatred on it. But instead, you get this lame crap every single time somebody gets any kind of a pushback out there. Oh, I offended the turbo freak furries. I'm sorry. I ain't sorry. And you know what else is funny? Here's a lesson for you. Not just Tony Dungy, for everybody. Here's a lesson for everyone. Look, you don't want to be like me. You already know that. Kids, you don't want to be like me. Be like your parents. I'm a bad person. But there is one thing. There is one thing America should definitely copy me on. Have you noticed it's been 6 months to a year since I've been involved in some major, quote, controversy with the communists calling for my job? Have you noticed that? But you've probably noticed I say things that should get me, quote, canceled every day. But I haven't been canceled. Why? Why don't they come for me anymore? Is there a reason? Because they're always chirping at all these low-T GOPers. Why aren't they chirping at me? Because these people are vermin, and they're like sharks. The second you apologize and grovel and reverse course or do anything, they are on you like white on rice. They will never leave you alone because you have just dripped blood into the water. They are the ultimate bullies. Why do they not come for me as much anymore like they used to? Because every time there's a controversy, not only do I not apologize, and I never will. You will never hear me apologize for something on this show. Not only do I not apologize, I'll double down. If I'm wrong, I'll double down. I'll triple down. Whatever you don't want me to say, I'll shout it louder and louder and louder. And then eventually they leave and they choose easier prey. They choose greener pastures. It's not enough to just not apologize. That's step one. double and triple down on these communists. And you do that not because you're a bad person. You do that because you understand who you're dealing with. You understand what their motivations are. You understand that what they're actually trying for. They're trying to drive you to your knees so you can beg their forgiveness, so they can lord some kind of power over you. That's the goal. They're not ever even actually offended by what you said. The goal is to get you to grovel, to get you to kneel and take orders. That is the goal. It's never about the issue they tell you it's about. It's, hey, I bet we can break this guy. Oh, look, he's already apologizing. Oh, hey, let's get him. Easy prey. Got easy prey here. Look at him apologize. They laugh when you do that. All right, let's get to some emails. Jesse, when a person has stage 4 cancer, because I've been saying, by the way, I've been saying it's going to take a long time for the Republican Party to reform. This guy said, Jesse, when a person has stage 4 cancer, we don't tell them it took you decades to develop stage 4 cancer, so it's going to take decades to get well. America's consumption of communism has given it stage 4 cancer. America and Republicans in particular don't have decades to get well. If Gavin Newsom wins in 2024 and Democrats reclaim Congress, then America will have elected its Hugo Chavez. The days of free elections and decades to reform the Republican Party will have ended. What is the point of moving to a red state if we all speak Chinese? So on and so forth. Okay. One, I actually had the same thought yesterday. When I was getting out of the shower. I was sitting there. I was thinking about politics like I do. And I was thinking to myself, man alive, there's a not zero chance that it is President Gavin Newsom in 2024. And then, my word, are we in very, very serious trouble if it's that slime ball. If you had to create a slime ball politician in a lab, you would build Gavin Newsom up from the ground. That's what you just assemble him right there. That's one. But two, we may not tell a person with stage 4 cancer that they have decades, but we would also tell them what? One day at a time, right? One treatment at a time, because that's the only choice you have. When I tell you it's going to take a long time to reform the Republican Party, it's not because I'm thrilled about it. It's not because I think we have all the time in the world. I tell you it's going to take that long because it is. Because it simply takes a long time to wake up enough primary voters to finally start voting out the pieces of trash. It takes a long time for the old pieces of trash like Lindsey Graham and McConnell to finally retire and let some new blood get in. It just takes a long time to change a party. Now, it may not take decades. You know, it may not take 30 years, but it's going to take 10. That's what it took the Democrats. They started about 2010 or so. They started changing their party into a communist party, and by now, let's say they're there. So it took them 10, 12 years. Look, it's what it's going to take for us to become anti-communists. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Hey, practice with your weapon, all right? Just in case we don't have enough time, practice with your weapon, all right? You're never, I promise you this, you will never get into a situation ever where you say, dang it, I wish I wasn't such a good shot. That'll never happen to you ever. But you may very well find yourself in a situation where the practice time you put in saves your life or the life of your family. And there are no excuses now that we have Mantis X attaches to your weapon. You practice in the comfort of your home. Go to MantisX.com and start practicing in the comfort of your home. It attaches there. You dry fire practice. They give you feedback. They put you through drills. You'll watch yourself get real good with your weapon. MantisX.com. That's MantisX.com. All right. The media cheering for violence. We're going to talk about that. Stochastic terrorism. We're going to talk about Saddam Hussein's yacht. We're going to get to emails. And then when we're all done doing those things, we're going to check out of here. But we'll be back to do them again tomorrow, okay? All right, give me a second.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show here on a Monday. Man alive. Show's almost done. I don't want it to end. I don't want it to end. You know why?
You know, freedom is not free.
Because that's why. Now, let's deal with something real quick here first before we get into some emails and headlines I didn't get to and everything else. Let's deal with this. There was a riot over the weekend in Atlanta. Bunch of communist street activists started lighting police cars on fire, breaking windows. They're doing some digging into these people. All these people, by the way, are all from out of town. And this is what you're seeing a lot of on television. You're seeing a lot of, well, defending it.
But as even the chief himself said,
this is CNN, by the way. This is CNN.
This is a small group. There are no leaders. So people go off and do their own things. That doesn't just make them justifiable. But I do think that, you know, you keep using these words, violent, 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 violent. And it gives the impression, I mean, the only acts of violence against people that I saw were actually police tackling protesters.
Okay. Only violence I saw was the cops. The Atlanta media covered it like this.
If you take a look over here, if you pan over, I want to show you. This is what they were handing out at the protest. So it was a largely peaceful protest where they just wanted what they're calling justice for.
Here's what happens with the media in this country. And I'm actually talking about the right now. Here's what you've probably heard or will hear all day long on the right about these riots. You have heard the, what if it was the right wing doing this? Or how can you say they're peaceful? Or I can't believe these people are all from out of town. Why are we still doing this thing? Why are we still doing the, I can't believe the media is covering it this way thing? The American media hates you. The American media just spent 4 years of Trump's presidency not ignoring violence against Trump supporters. They just spent 4 years of Trump's presidency encouraging it. The media, when they see communist street activists doing bad things, it's not that they choose to ignore it. They cheer it on. Why do you think everyone from the media to the President of the United States of America himself and on down, why do you think they all call you a Nazi threat to democracy? You're a Nazi white supremacist threat to democracy. Why do you think that is? Because they want the violent street activists at the bottom. They want them to split your head open, burn down your business, kill you. It helps keep you in line. It helps keep you in check. It's called stochastic terrorism for a reason. We call it being sandwiched on this show. The powers that be, the judges, the politicians, everybody on top, they use their bully pulpit. They get behind their microphone and say, these are Nazi white supremacists trying to end America. And they know that the communists at the bottom will hear that rallying cry and organize themselves and go hurt people. And I see people pointing out that they were all from out of town. Again, why are we so shocked about things we should be up to date on? Stop pointing out hypocrisy. It doesn't work. That's one. Two, you know all these people are paid, right? You know all this is organized and paid for. You didn't, when St. George Floyd died, you didn't actually think riots randomly popped up in virtually every city in America, right? You didn't think that was some organic grassroots protest, did you? Why do you think pallets of bricks started showing up in the cities? Would you, if I gave you an hour right now to get a pallet of bricks, could you do it? I bet you couldn't. I bet you'd have a difficult time doing it. Yet, right when the riots were going off, a bunch of, quote, disorganized street communists managed to have multiple pallets of bricks dropped off for them to throw. You know that there's a sheriff in Idaho who got wind of one of these protests, and he stopped a line of Mercedes vans, expensive to rent or buy, by the way, Mercedes vans full of Antifa people in them going to riot. They got stopped and shunned away, but you know that those guys didn't walk in and rent a Mercedes van or three with their EBT card, right? All these things are paid for and organized. There are gigantic dark groups of communist money in this country funding the street violence at the bottom. We continue, and the media cheers it on. Joe Biden cheers it on. We continue to shortchange ourselves by acting shocked at, I can't believe the media is ignoring it. Ignoring it? If the media found out tomorrow that you had your head beat in by a Black Lives Matter activist, it's not that they would ignore it. They would cheer it. They're encouraging it. Of course the media, of course that's how they're covering it. All right. It's enough of that. Let's get to this. Let's get to your puppy. You see, I have a dog who's spoiled. If you talk to the family members, they will falsely accuse me of being the one who spoils him when I will tell you it's definitely them and not me. But either way, he is spoiled. And he used to have a bad puking problem. And I mean a bad one. Pretty much it was every meal. He eats twice a day. Every meal he would puke. I don't remember the last time he's puked because of Rough Greens. Because your dog food, Fred's dog food, is dead food, as they say at Rough Greens. But Rough Greens is a supplement you pour on top of the food. It's omega oils, digestive enzymes, probiotics. Fred doesn't puke anymore. Thank you, Rough Greens. I love these. I love the emails. Jesse, my dog, live longer. Jesse, it's given my dog new life. You want a new dog? Only you want to keep your dog? Go get a free trial bag. Look, that's pretty confident in it, right? A free bag? Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. That's R-U-F-F, by the way. Roughgreens.com/Jesse.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Inside Saddam Hussein's four-story, 18-room mega yacht. I was in one of Saddam Hussein's palaces, and it was sick. I bet his mega yacht was sweet, and I'm so mad that I didn't hit the Powerball or anything, and I couldn't buy that. I totally would have bought Saddam Hussein's yacht, Chris. It would have been hilarious. Los Angeles Rams tell fans to donate to Democrat anti-gun group following a mass shooting. Yes, this is once again corporate America. Back to what we were talking about earlier, corporate America. I'm sure the LA Rams thought they were getting the top talent when they hired that guy, the valedictorian at Stanford. No, all you got was a highly educated communist activist who's ruined your group like they've ruined everything else. Spotify is the latest tech name to cut jobs, axing 6% of the workforce. The tech layoffs from Microsoft to Spotify to Twitter to all these places have been huge. I never thought that bubble was going to burst that big. Ouch. The secret life of the mafia boss who spent 30 years on the lam as Italy's number one fugitive. I actually don't have anything I want to add. That's just a really cool headline. I just think that's a really cool headline. What, Chris? 4.2 million migrants apprehended along the southwest border under the Biden administration. They're not migrants. They're illegal immigrants. Let's be very, very careful. Even conservative media adopting the language of the communists. Leaving the country where you're a citizen to illegally invade a country where you're not a citizen, so you'll be able to take advantage of their money and their resources and their systems, doesn't make you a migrant. It makes you a criminal, an illegal alien criminal. All right? We're going to do this again tomorrow. That's all.
So this is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.